I'd like to welcome everybody to the gospel meeting this evening. Perhaps we could start by singing a song together here off of our hymn sheet. Number 14, if another would start it for us. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? The question is, have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Perhaps another would raise the tune, please.
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washing the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood?
Person that can answer that in this room tonight is you. I don't know whether you are washed in the blood of the Lamb. I hope that you are. I'm thankful to be able to say that I am. You know, I can say that on the basis of the Word of God. And it would be wonderful if every single person in this room that's old enough to understand could say, I am washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's ask for His help in prayer. Particularly for me, but for you too, that you'd be able to listen to the Word of God. Let's pray together. God and Father, each one that is thine is thankful to be able to sing this hymn, to be able to answer yes, that we are washed in the blood of the Lamb. We just thank thee for the excellence of the Lord Jesus, and just ask for help tonight to be able to bring out that word that thou wouldst have. And then it would be able to convict any here that is still in the dark, that is still outside of the enjoyment of that wonderful love that it's have in thy heart, and that it's give thy beloved Son, the Lord Jesus, to give his life to provide salvation, that whosoever will may come. Just thank thee for thy grace. Just pray that each one that is thine might be in the enjoyment of it tonight. Just ask now, Father, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Well, let's open the Word of God here together this evening to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 3. It says, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom to be testified in due time." We get in these verses here the heart of God towards you and towards me. You know what? In a feeble measure tonight, I have in my heart towards you a care that you would be able to understand a little bit of the heart of God towards you. Maybe you'd be able to perceive that. Maybe you'd be totally unaware of it. That's not what's important. What's important is, do you recognize that God loves you? He loves you, and it's His desire that you will be saved and come to know Him. You know, there's the verse in the Psalms that says, God has spoken. You know, back home in our reading meetings, Uncle Rob pointed out some time ago, the people build all kinds of devices to listen into outer space to see if there's any kind of voice or some kind of pattern that's coming in from aliens or something like that. But God has spoken. We have His Word. Does it mean something to you that God cares about you, not just everyone else? It's so personal. He cares about you, and He wants you to be saved. You know, I had the privilege when I was a little boy getting down beside my bed and asking the Lord Jesus to save me, because I recognized I was a sinner. I needed to be saved. What about you? Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? We know what it is to take a bath, right? When I was a boy, I liked to avoid taking baths. I figured that once a week was plenty for me. My mom and dad didn't think so. They seemed to think that I needed to have to be washed a little more than that. We know what it means to be washed. And after we're washed, it feels good to be clean. And we like to get dirty again. But when we're washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus, it's not something we have to do over and over again. The blood of Jesus Christ is sufficient once and for all to take away every sin, so that when God looks at you and looks at me, He sees spotless. You know, I noticed on my sleeve here, on my arm, I managed to get a spot on my sleeve. My sleeve isn't spotless anymore. It's dirty. We know what that means too, to be dirty. But when the Lord Jesus does His work, we are clean once and for all. And it's His desire that we would be. He doesn't want anyone to be lost. Not even one. Do you recognize that God loves you? You know, if we turn over to the book of 1 John. 1 John chapter 4, verse 9. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Over to verse 16. It says, and we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Verse 18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. He first loved us. He first loved me. He first loved you. How important am I in this world, of all the billions of people? Am I important? No. But God loves me. And He cares about you. He cares if you stubbed your toe. He cares if you're feeling left out. You know, He doesn't want anyone to be left out of His home, to be able to enjoy His Son for all eternity. He doesn't want you to be left out. He wants you to be able to enjoy that love. But He's not going to force you. He's not going to twist your arm further and further until you finally give in. He pleads with you. Come. Come to me. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You know, sometimes we're tired. There's a lot of labor in this world. There's a lot of care. There's a lot of pressure. Sometimes we're weary. The Lord wants us to come to Him with those burdens. You know, I remember reading in Pilgrim's Progress about a Christian on his way to the celestial city, and he had a burden on his back. It was heavy, and the burden of sin is heavy. It says, a man shall be holden with the cords of his sins. And I used to like to go out in the woods and do some work in the brush after school. And there's a lot of people at school, a lot of pressures, and just go outside and be away from everything and just enjoy what the Lord has made. You know, I was out there one day and I found a little tree. It reminded me of a little child. The little tree was maybe this tall, only maybe 4 feet. You know, that little tree was dead. And it was dead because there was a little vine that started out real small. And it grew around the tree. And it went around the tree and around the tree and around the tree. And it had leaves on it. And eventually, that vine, it covered the entire tree and it blocked out all the light. And it killed that tree. And I saw that. I thought, wow. A little tree was holding with the cord of that vine. And that's like a little child or an adult, whoever you might be. Sin will wrap around you and will try to hold you captive. And there's only one person that can set you free from your sins. And that's the Lord Jesus. You know, if you continue on, let that vine continue to grow, it's going to end in eternal death for you. So what happened to that little tree? And I was sad to see that, but it was a lesson for me, right before my eyes, of the effect of what sin can do. Because that tree died because of sin. If it wasn't for sin, there wouldn't have been death. The little tree was dead. Now, how about you? Is there some kind of sin that's holding you down, keeping you back from the Lord Jesus, that you would rather have instead of Him? It's not worth it. There's nothing that's going to be able to satisfy your heart other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing else. You know, I know that satisfaction. And yet sometimes foolishly I go to other things to try to fill me up. And I try and try and fill myself and I'm empty. You know, if you don't have the Lord Jesus, if you don't know Him, you're not satisfied. You can try to distract yourself with many things, but it won't work. You'll just have to try something bigger and bigger until you realize you have nothing. You know, we read these verses here in 1 John 4 because it talks about the love of God towards ourselves. But can you personally enter into verse 16? We have known and believed the love that God hath to us. If any of you have listened in Sunday school at all, or if your parents read the Bible, you're going to know that God loves you. But do you believe it for yourself? That God loves me. It's amazing. It's amazing. You know what, if you knew everything about me, all the wrong things I've ever done in my life, you might look at me a little differently, and probably rightfully so. But you know what, God knows all of that. He knows everything about you, and He still loves you. Such grace. Let's turn over to Titus. Titus chapter 3. We'll read from verse 3. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. There's another scripture that says, in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. You know, a lot of you children, perhaps young people have been raised in Christian families, not everyone. But often when we are raised in a place of protection, safety, it's easy for us to think that we're really not totally sinful. That there's something in there that's good. You know, my pride in my flesh likes to think that there's something in me that's good. That's not true. In me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. You know, I wasn't guilty of killing people or maybe stealing a lot of stuff or doing some things that you might think are really, really bad. But you know, in this list here, We have some things that even as a boy I knew I was guilty of. Boys ever been foolish? I certainly have been. How about disobedient? Anybody ever been disobedient? Anybody ever not been disobedient? All of us are guilty of the things on this list. How about deceived? Serving divers lusts and pleasures. Trying to satisfy ourselves apart from God. Living in malice and envy. How many people ever go to a birthday party of someone else and feel kind of a little envious at the presents that they got? You know, that's sin. Do you recognize that you're a sinner? You recognize in God's sight, maybe in my sight, maybe I see you doing kind things. I don't know what's in your heart, but God knows. Maybe it was a Lego set that your brother got, and you wanted to have it. How about hateful and hating one another? You know, my brother's not here. But you know what? My brother got delight out of making me angry. You know what? There was a time in my life when I hated him. Nobody else knew. But I did. And God knew it. I hated him. He delighted in me being upset and frustrated. That was sin. You know, by the Lord's grace, he gave that to change. It's wrong to hate, right? The Lord Jesus says, if we hate our brother, it's like we've committed murder in our heart. So I was guilty of far worse than I thought. How about you? Do you recognize that when God looks at you, he sees right down into the very depth of your heart? He knows everything that's there. And he wants you to be able to bring that out into the light and be in his presence perfectly at rest. Are you? You know, we had in the readings about setting the Lord always before me. You recognize if the Lord is right at your right hand. You know which hand is your right hand? Some people have a hard time telling which is their right and their left. If the Lord is right there, he's right beside you. If the Lord is there and he knows everything, are you comfortable? Are you rejoicing in that? Is that something that is marvelous to your heart? Or is it something that kind of makes you feel like you'd like to get somewhere else in a hurry? He wants you to be able to enjoy fellowship with him. But you can't have it in the darkness. That's impossible. It has to be in the light. So the kindness and love of God our Savior appear. Does it mean something to your heart that God wants you to know the love and the kindness he has towards you? Or is it just, boy, when this meeting's done, I'm going to be able to go play dodgeball. It's going to be amazing. This is something that is going to be forever. It's not a game that begins and ends. As fun as a game might be, what about your soul? That's not just over at the end of the night. It goes on forever. Your soul will never end. And the Lord wants you to be able to be in enjoyment with him of his Son. But he doesn't force you. I'd like to go back to the Old Testament for a story here. In 2 Kings chapter 5, I think it's a well-known story to many of us. I didn't know what to speak about. I was praying about that. And we had in our reading meeting that the Lord instructs us in the night. Last night I woke up, used the washroom, and this story came into my mind. Now, how would this story come into my mind when I'm going to use the washroom in the middle of the night? I hadn't been reading it in some time. You know, the Lord can answer our prayers. He cares about our needs, whatever they are. And I experienced that last night. He cared about me. You know, he cares about you too. Let's read this together. It's about a man who was a Gentile, who was afar off from the promises of God. He had leprosy, which is a type of sin. And he was an enemy of the people of God. And God reached out in love to him. He's reaching out to you tonight. Let's just read this chapter together. 2 Kings 5, verse 1. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, "Would God, my lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." And one went in and told his lord, saying, "Thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel." And the king of Syria said, go, I will send a letter unto the king of Israel." And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, "Now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy." And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me." And it was so, when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, "Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, "Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean." But Naaman was wroth and went away and said, "Behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, "My father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldst thou not have done it? How much rather then when he saith unto thee, 'Wash and be clean'?" Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child. And he was clean. Stop there. As we said, here's this man, Naaman. He's a strong man. But he has a problem. And that problem is he has an incurable disease, leprosy. You know, it's just like sin. You're not going to go be able to go to any doctor to be able to get fixed of your problem with sin. Nobody can cure you of sin. Leprosy must be cleansed, not cured. You know what? There was a little girl. A little girl who had faith. We learn in the New Testament that there weren't other lepers who had been cleansed before in the land of Israel. But this little girl, she cared for someone else. Perhaps the man who had captured her and taken her away. You know, she had the spirit of Christ towards her master. She wanted something good for him. Imagine being captured and taken away from your family, and made to be a little servant for someone else. And to think of trying to do good towards that person. This little girl had a tremendous spirit. You know, she had a message that brought tremendous blessing to Naaman. And she just said to her mistress, "If Naaman went to the prophet, he could make them all better." She was right. But it was by faith. It wasn't because she had seen it happen before. It was by faith. You know, it's hard to keep good news to ourselves. It's a privilege to be able to share it. You know, there's many kids, if you go to school, that have no idea about the Lord Jesus. You could tell them. So Naaman winds up in front of the most important man of Israel, the king. What could the king offer Naaman? All he could do is tear his clothes. If you go to important people in this world that are really smart, they cannot save you. You know what? There is an answer, and the word came from the prophet, "Send him to me." The Lord was able to help Naaman with his problem. We were talking about that problem being the problem of sin. You know, Naaman was willing to recognize that he had a problem, and so he was willing to look for help. You know, I naturally like to do things myself. How about you? When my little daughter was 2 years old, she would say, "I'm going to do it myself. I'm going to do it myself." We cannot save ourselves. We have to have the Lord Jesus save us. We cannot save ourselves. Naaman, he was willing to acknowledge he needed help. You know what? We need to acknowledge that too, if we're going to have help. And so, he came to the house of Elisha, and he came with his own ideas. I know what he'll do. He'll come out, and he'll do some big fancy thing, and put his hand over the place, and then I'll get all better. But that's not what happened. Instead, just a messenger came out. You know, tonight, there's just a messenger to tell you about the love of God. It's not somebody important. Just a messenger to say that God loves you and he has salvation for you if you'll receive it. And the message was, go wash in the Jordan 7 times and you'll be clean. It was a very simple message. The message of the gospel is not complicated. Whosoever will may come, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. It's not complicated. God has made it so the little child can understand that when Jesus died on the cross and his blood was shed, that blood, God accepts it to wash your sins away. And if God says that you're cleansed, what does it matter what anyone else says? If God says it, it's true. But you know what? Naaman had his own idea. That's not the way it should be. Not just a simple messenger. The Jordan River is dirty. I don't like that way of salvation. And so he turned and he went away in a rage. And I would expect the general of an army, if he's in a rage, would be quite the thing to behold. But you know what? There were some people in his life. They were servants. They weren't real important people, but they cared about Naaman. They cared that Naaman would be better. And so they came to him and they asked him, if the prophet had asked you to do some great thing, you would have done it. But he just asked you to do something so simple. Wash and be clean. I don't know about you, but I've been upset before. When someone speaks to you when you're upset, sometimes you don't listen the best right away. Sometimes it takes a little time to settle down a little bit, to recognize that what the person said is true. You know what? By the Lord's grace, Naaman, he listened. He listened. And he recognized that these people that cared about him were right. He needed to try it. He needed to try it for himself. It wasn't good enough for other people to go and to wash. He needed to go himself. And so, I don't know whether he turned his chariot or whatever. Anyway, he ended up at the Jordan River. He had to go down into that water. Most likely it was kind of dirty water, just like he expected. And he had to wash in that water. He had to go under. He came up. And it wasn't cleansed. And he had to go down again. 6 times. Maybe if it was on his arm, he could look at the spot and say, it's still not cleansed. And when I add to the Word of God, I remember listening to a tape of a sister who made these stories for us. And she said, one of the servants may have said, he said 7 times, sir. And so he went down that 7th time. And when he came up, his flesh was like the flesh of a little child. You know, I don't expect Naaman was a very young man. I don't know how old he was. But generally, as we get older, our skin doesn't get nicer. It gets wrinkly and maybe a little rougher. You know, the skin of a little child is so soft and so smooth. You know that there was new life here that was given to Naaman. His leprosy was gone. He was cleansed. You know, he could look at that spot, wherever it was, we're not told, whether it was on his forehead or on his arm or leg. Wherever he had it, it was gone. You know what? When we're washed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, our sins are totally gone. You know, you think Naaman regretted listening to his servants? I think he would have rather kept his rage, went home, not humbled himself. Not a chance. I think anybody in this room that has accepted the Lord Jesus would say, oh boy, I really wish I hadn't done that. No, it was a terrible decision. No. No one that has ever come to the Lord Jesus and that has been saved has said, I wish I wasn't. It's when we're clean, it's wonderful. You know, Naaman had to humble himself and go down. You don't have to be very old before we can be pretty proud. Are you willing to humble yourself? To accept God's offer of salvation for you? You know, we didn't read it. But in the next story, going on further in the chapter, there's a man named Gehazi. You know, Gehazi, he was brought up, or he had the opportunity of serving Elisha. We read later on of how he was in the presence of the king telling all the miracles that Elisha had done. He got to watch. But you know, Naaman comes back after he's cleansed and he wants to worship. He wants to worship the Lord. And if you're saved, it's appropriate that you would desire to worship the Lord. There would be a response in your heart back to him. He's done so much for you, for me. Naaman, he wanted to give something to the prophet, but the prophet said, no, I don't need anything. You can't pay anything for the blessing of God. But you know what? Gehazi, he looked at all this and he said, I want to get something for myself. So, he decided he'd run after it. So he runs after Naaman, after Naaman leaves. And he makes up a lie, a story, to help him to get what he wants. Later on in the chapter, it talks about men servants and maid servants and vineyards and olive yards and garments and sheep and oxen. You know, Gehazi, he didn't desire to have that relationship with God. He desired to have something for himself apart from God. You know, he went out and he got it for himself. And then he came back to the man of God and acted like nothing had happened. Everything's fine. And Elisha, he has to say, went not my heart with thee? You know, Gehazi went out from the presence of Elisha, a leper as white as snow. You know, in this story, we have two men. One that started with leprosy and got to know the Lord and ended up being a worshiper. And one that was raised in given a tremendous privilege. I apply it to you children, young people, that have grown up hearing the Word of God. And then to go and to look away from God to something else to satisfy your heart. Poor Gehazi, all he gets is leprosy. What a contrast. You know, God desires for each one of us that we would know Him. That we would come to the knowledge of the truth. That we'd be able to spend eternity enjoying what He enjoys. To be with Him. Which one are you? Naaman or Gehazi? I don't deserve to be in Naaman's shoes. By the Lord's grace, I am. And many here are. We have the privilege of being like Naaman, to be able to return and to worship the Lord, just like the leper that did. He gave thanks to God for saving him. But is there someone tonight that when you look on the Lord Jesus Christ, you think, he's not enough to satisfy my heart? I've got to have something else. You know, there's something else out there that's going to fill me. No, it's not. It's not. I'd like to read maybe just one more verse before we sing number 19. I had in the reading meeting back home, John chapter 6. Because I remember when I was a little boy, I went to gospel meeting. Somebody would give the gospel, and I would wonder if I was really saved or not. You know, this verse in John chapter 6 and verse 37 brought me tremendous peace. Perhaps there's a little one here, and you don't feel peace in your heart. You've tried to trust in the Lord, but you're just not sure. John 6 and verse 37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Here's the part that I want you, if you can memorize this for yourself, you can repeat it to yourself whenever you have doubts. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. If you've come to the Lord Jesus, he will never cast you out. Can you rest in that? That if you come to him, he's going to take you. Perhaps you've had opportunity to be rejected in some way. Rejection is a hard thing. And if you're saying no to the Lord Jesus, that's what he's experiencing tonight. Rejection from you. But if you come to him, he won't reject you. He'll take you. That's amazing. But he's not going to force you. He just says, come. So let's sing number 19 together. If another would raise the tune of number 19.
Christ.
pray. If you've never told somebody that you believed in the Lord Jesus, you need to tell somebody. And we confess with our mouth, it also helps us to have peace. We tell somebody that we have believed in the Lord Jesus. You know, we don't know how much time we have. When I was in grade 3, came to school one day, and there was a little girl who didn't come to my class because she had died the night before. And grade 3 is not very old. Don't think you have lots of time. We do not have any guarantee of time. It's important that you decide to accept the Lord Jesus yourself now. Do not put it off.